today on Real Radio.
Don't drive your tent stakes too deep into this ground. Don't get too much at home here, because his word to us as a word of encouragement was, it's all going to end soon. Jesus is coming. Wow.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Come My People, continues a series now called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, God used the prophet Isaiah to speak mainly to his people in Judah and the city of Jerusalem. But God also gave Isaiah visions that were far into the future, the coming of the Messiah Jesus Christ, for one, and also what's going to happen in the last days and the events that lead to his new kingdom here on earth. In the first 18 verses of Isaiah chapter 26, we saw how much God really loves Israel. The existence of Israel today is one of the reasons why there's so much trouble in this world. We also looked into the coming 1,000-year reign, or what's called the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. During his second coming, Jesus will rule and reign from the New Jerusalem. Now in verses 19 through 21, we look into the last half of the Great Tribulation period, back when the Antichrist breaks his promise of peace. So today, on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that deliverance is the hope of every true believer. God is preparing a place for us in heaven with him, and will be in his care during the time when the people of Israel are kept hidden from the Lord's judgment upon the earth. And now continuing his lesson called Come My People, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
So listen, I'm going to be asking this question a lot tonight, I hope. I'm just praying that the clock would stop. And that is, with what we're looking at in the book of Isaiah, ask yourself this question: is there a New Testament doctrine to all of this? Is there a New Testament doctrine to what we're reading about in the book of Isaiah? Very quickly, because I don't want to bore you to death from last Sunday, but here we go again in case you missed it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Read this in light of Isaiah 26, verses 19 to 21, when he says, the dead will arise, they'll stand back upon their feet, and you're going to be called, my people. Come, my people. I'm going to put you into chambers, shut the doors, hide yourself. I am going to pour out my indignation upon the earth. Come with me. Come to me. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep or died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep or died in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are, or those who have died. For the verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend. Listen, Isaiah, the Lord comes out of his place. From heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain, those living at that moment of that event, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. I want to read to you a tweet that went out the other day. And this tweet said, this morning, this is your master's prophetic message for us today. Don't drive your tent stakes too deep. We're leaving soon, so be ready. Do you know who tweeted that? Dr. Tim LaHaye. Dr. Tim LaHaye tweeted that and then went out to his driveway in San Diego to pick up his newspaper, had a massive stroke and died and went to see Jesus. This week, Monday morning. I love his last tweet. Don't drive your tent stakes too deep into this ground. Don't get too much at home here, because his word to us as a word of encouragement was, it's all going to end soon. Jesus is coming. Well, wow. Okay, well, the Lord didn't come for us, but the Lord came for him. And you might say, well, you know what? I'm still here. You could go out to get your newspaper tomorrow and see what happens. His admonition to us was so fitting of a life, 90 years old, served Jesus all of his life. And it was great when he said, Be ready. So be ready. What a great word. No doubt. Listen, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1 says, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent," he's talking about the body, Paul is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with human hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, don't you? Desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven, a whole new world, whole new life, whole new body. If indeed we have been clothed, we shall not be found naked. In other words, God gave you a body to live in this world. Why won't he give you a body to live in the next? For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed or without skin, but further clothed, better clothes. You want some better clothes? Want some clothes that, want some skin? Want skin that works in heaven? Resurrected skin? That mortality may be swallowed up by life. Transformation. The second thing we see tonight in this, in part of verse 19, is that resurrection now is the hope of every true believer. He says, "Awake and sing, you who dwell in the dust." This is the dual meaning. Israel as a nation, be resurrected. But wait a minute. The dust refers from Genesis to Revelation to what happens to the human body when it rots away, when it decays. Awake and sing. Resurrection. You who dwell in the dust, for your dew is like the dew of herbs. What happens in the morning when you go out and look on your lawn or look on a leaf? That's assuming we have any moisture in Southern California at all. But if you notice in the morning, you're supposed to have dew on the grass or dew on something, and then the sun begins to rise. Where does that dew go? It evaporates. It goes up. It goes up. Comes from the earth, condensation, so to speak. Condensation is what that is happening. But it forms almost miraculously. And then it's gone. It's the word of encouragement he's given to us. The earth, look at what he says. The earth will cast out. The word in Hebrew is the earth will give birth to the dead. And they're going to be alive. Can you think of anything in the New Testament doctrinal teachings of the Bible that even suggests that the earth is going to throw out its dead? In 1 Thessalonians 4, when the trumpet is blown, the Lord shouts in the voice of the archangel, the earth will cast out its dead. It's the believing dead, the bodies of those who have died in Jesus. It's very fascinating. We ask the question, is there a New Testament correlation to this? I say there is. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 says, "By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also." So that's cool. It's good news. You know anybody who's dead? You know, that's the wrong term, isn't it? Tim LaHaye's not dead now. That's really unfair. He moved. He's more alive now than he ever has been. The third thing, look at verse 20. "Come, my people," deliverance. That is, deliverance is the hope of every true believer. Deliverance. "Come, my people." I love that. I bet the believers in Syria right now and northern Iraq would like to hear that. For that matter, Iraq and Afghanistan. The believers in Sudan. How about the believers in Nigeria tonight? They'd like to hear, "Come, my people." I tell you what, I'd like to hear, "Come, my people." There's going to be a day when God says, "Come, my people. Enter your chambers." This is interesting. This is interesting because, and please do not believe what I'm going to tell you. You're going to have to go look this up. You're going to think I'm making this up. I don't think I'm going to give you this verse. I don't think I'll have the time, but I'll throw it out to you and you look it up later. Remember John 14, verses 1, 2, and 3 from Sunday? Jesus said, "I'm going to go prepare a place for you." Who's preparing the place for you? Are you preparing it? But are you going to it? And how are you going to get there? He's going to rapture you. He's going to come get you, he says, and take you there. Okay, listen. "Come, my people. Enter your chambers." Guess what the word means? You didn't buy these chambers. You didn't build these chambers. The word means God made the chambers. And by the way, the word suggests that they're wedding chambers. How do you like that? I don't know if we relate to that in our culture, but it'd be like this. "Hey, sweetheart, after we say I do, we get on in the car or we get to the airport or on the train or whatever you do, when we get, just wait till you see the place that I have prepared for you." I mean, it may be Hilton or Sheraton or whatever, but the point is, right? It's a surprise. He's got it already. He made the reservations. Look, first of all, girls, this is off the record here. If you're engaged to a guy that can't make reservations for a hotel room and set that up, I don't know if you should go forward with this. He's got to be thinking, man. He ought to whisk you off your feet. Jesus, that's what Jesus does. Come, my people. That guy ought to say, come, sweetie. I prepare a place for you. Absolutely, where I am, there you may be also, right? Come, my people. Enter your chambers. Look, shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were. Listen, oh, it's okay. Just for a little moment. This is kind of awesome. Come, my people. I love you. I've provided for you. Come. Oh, there you go. You like it? Everything wonderful? Hang on one second. In fact, it'd probably be better for you if you just shut the doors for a minute. And you see God roll up his sleeves. And you see him come out there like the Hulk, you know, to the earth. It's like, sweetie, I really don't want you to see this right now. Why don't you go over there and I'll be back in a minute. Boom! He's going to visit the earth with judgment. For he says, until the indignation is passed, my wrath, my judgment. So my question to you is, in verse 20, is there any New Testament doctrine that you can think of here? Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking to me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. And from that moment, everything is God's judgment upon the earth, John records. It's always good to remember that. Very important. I'm going to ask you to look at the screens for this slide, a couple of slides here right now. First one, today, think about it, today, according to the Bible, today, this moment, tonight, we are to be awaiting, according to the Bible, expecting, looking for Jesus to appear unexpectedly in the rapture. That's Bible doctrine. This is exclusively required of the church, and it is the expectancy of the bride of Christ. You can take a picture of that if you want, it'd be online later, but this is to be your motive for breathing right now, Christian. Today, this moment, tonight, the expectancy, the bride of Christ is to be looking for her fiancé. That's Jesus. The Father is married to Israel. Jehovah is married to Israel, he says. The Son is engaged to the church, the bride of Christ. Next slide. At some point after that event, the church now in heaven, the seven-year tribulation period begins with a political peace plan between the nations of the Middle East and Israel, so says Daniel chapter 9. Chronologically, next slide. Exactly 7 years from the day of that peace plan, Daniel chapter 9, again, verses 24 to 27, being signed, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, will return to earth with his church, Revelation 19 says, to establish his millennial government. Christ returns. He's going to come back and show the world how it's done. And he's not even going to campaign because he's not running for office and he ain't going to have no convention. He's going to do it. Now, that's a very three-slide overview, a generality, but in chronological order, that's what we're looking at. Number four, come, my people, justice is the hope of every true believer, justice. I have to be honest with you. I'm kind of sick of hearing the word justice thrown around. It doesn't even carry any value to it anymore. Justice, justice this, justice, we want justice, social justice, animal justice, the nature, where was I on vacation? Somewhere, oh my gosh, it almost ruined my vacation. I was on a trail hiking along and then there was a sign and the sign said something about, I'm supposed to like talk to nature and make sure it's okay with me being there on the path and I don't offend it because I could upset it. Have we lost our minds? Don't you believe in Mother Earth? No, I believe in Father God. There is no Mother Earth. Okay, listen, Al Gore, love you, man, but there's no Mother Earth. Okay, Gaia is not real. Okay? The Earth, listen, you want to get people really upset? Did you know that the Bible says that God created the Earth for man's stewardship, that we're supposed to take care of it? I believe the Christians should be the greatest environmentalist in the world. But let me explain to you what environmentalist means. It means I don't throw trash out my window of my car, and I don't take my car oil and pour it out on the dirt. That's wrong. That's wrong in anybody's book. That's terrible. Okay, but I don't bow down to some tree and talk to it, or take a crystal rock and put it in my navel and look for a GPS direction. That's insane, ladies and gentlemen. I hate to upset you, but it's true. God, he made it and he gave it to us to be good stewards over it. Listen, I love whales, but I don't love whales. You know what I'm saying? There's a big difference. We've been created in the image of God. Amen. Big difference. Justice. Listen. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place. Oh, man. Somebody needs to do something. I understand that. And we are to stand for righteousness. We are to do the right thing. It's required of us. And God will hold us responsible. But there will come a day when the Lord comes out of his place. And now, as a believer, I'm all good with that. I'm fine with that. Because I understand what Jesus did for me. But listen, if you're still in trouble, boy, are you in trouble. Do you remember when you were in trouble and your mom said, "Honey, he just threw a rock through the window again." And I heard my dad's door open, or my mom and dad's bedroom door open. And I heard my dad coming down the hallway. Right? What happened? The Lord has come out of his place. And there's going to be a day when the Lord comes out of his place. The church is in heaven. The rapture has taken place. The world has rejected Christ. It's in the throes of the tribulation period. God tucks his people away in a safe place. Both Israel, you read the second half of the tribulation period, and God takes believing Israel and puts her in the clefts of the rock. Some speculate that is none other than Petra, the area of Jordan, because of some ancient Hebrew words that are found in the Old Testament that alludes to Jordan. Israel's kept safe during that period. The church is behind closed doors in heaven, and the Lord comes out of his place. You want justice? Are you sure you want justice? Because when he comes, he ain't going to hear no whining. No one's going to change his mind. He's going to look into the hearts and souls and the motives of every human being. And he's going to know where he knows. He's going to let you know what he knows. He comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants. Please look at this, everybody, in your Bible. Not some of the inhabitants. The inhabitants of the earth. Number one. Christian, you are not an inhabitant of the earth. Look it up later. I think it's Colossians 3, starting at verse 20. It says that your citizenship's in heaven. Listen, we're only passing through. We're just passing through. That's an old hippie line back in the hippie days. Just passing through. Remember that? Just passing through. The Christian's just passing through. We don't inhabit this world. He's going to punish the inhabitants of the earth because of their sin. Not you. Not me. The earth will also disclose her blood. This is terrifying. All those who have been unjustly killed, murdered, their blood is going to talk. The Catholic priest that was beheaded in his church service in France, while he's conducting his mass, where a couple of Muslims go into the mass service, get up and behead him in front of his flock. on video, by the way, streaming it live. His blood cries out. The Christians in Libya that were taken marched down to the beach and beheaded, totally submissive to their perpetrators, bowed down, singing praises to God, thanking Jesus, praying for their families, heads lopped off, their blood cries out. Think of that. Every aborted baby, blood cries out. Think of that. The violence and the mayhem of this world, bloodshed, blood cries out. God's bringing justice. And the world will crumble under his justice. Joel chapter 2, verse 31. Joel 2:31 says, in that day when that happens, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. That is a reference to the second coming, not the rapture. But we're looking at this punishment that God is going to levy in chapter 26, verse 21. And it's powerful. And so we ask ourselves the question, do we have a New Testament correlation to this Old Testament word? For behold, the Lord comes out of his place. Revelation 1:7, are you guys okay? Revelation 1:7, behold, he is coming with clouds. Every eye will see him. This is the second coming. Even they who pierced him, that's the Jewish people, and all the tribes of the earth, that's everybody, will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. Verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, Jesus says, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. He's coming. He's coming. Is there a New Testament correlation to Isaiah 26, 21? Yes, Revelation 19, 11. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. Listen to this. And in righteousness he judges and makes, what? War. Listen, listen, Jesus says he's coming back and he is going to make war. How does that sit with you? I know it freaks you out. First time I ever read this as a new Christian, I thought, what? Wait a minute. He's coming back and he's going to make war with his enemies.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a message called Come, My People. Thanks for taking the time to join us today. We really do appreciate it. And when the Lord closes the door, don't be left out. Come to Jesus Christ today. Come, My People is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, did you know that Real Radio is supported by our listeners? So if you've been encouraged by our program and you'd like to donate, we've made that real easy for you to do. You can partner with us at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You can do that simply by clicking on the tab that says Donate. Once you're there, you can choose a one-time gift amount or you can select the Monthly Gift tab. You know, Pastor Jack and all of us here at Real Radio really appreciate you listening in. And we'd love to hear from you. If this program has been a real blessing to you and has helped you develop in your spiritual walk, or maybe you've just got a question you want to ask, tell us about it. Again, simply go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the Contact Us tab. Once there, you just have to give us your name, your email address, along with questions or encouraging comments for Pastor Jack. It's all right there at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us for any reason, you can call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. And don't forget, we have other ways to connect with us, such as Facebook, Instagram, and the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. Or you can visit our website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And click right there on our contact tab. It's real easy, and we'd be happy to get back to you. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.